Hello, Marquette basketball fans. Welcome to another edition of the Golden Break. I'm your host, Adam Woke. Shout out to the production squad, Matthew, R, Micus, Dr. Michael, Keegan, and Jeffrey Cibollina. This pod does not go without their support. You are in for a very special treat. This was the most fun I've had on this pod. Is this conversation I got to have with Tyler Kolek. Thank you so much, Tyler, for coming on the show. And I think giving Marquette fans a very interesting peek behind the curtain of what goes on in player development in this team. Let's kick it over to Tyler. All right, we are here with the one and only Tyler Kolek. Tyler, how we doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
We love having you on. Listen, we haven't talked since the end of last season, so I actually want to start this conversation with the first day at the end of the season, because I want to kind of better understand sort of the evaluation process you go through as an individual player with your coaches, right? Because that's the time, right? The off seasons where you kind of look at yourself, what are the things I want to get better at? But you do that too with coaches. And so I kind of want to understand, what was that process like for you with this staff?
Yeah. So we kind of, end of the year, every guy kind of has their little exit meeting or whatever it is with Coach Smart or, you know, with some of the other assistants. You know, it's different for every guy, you know, role talks or reviewing the year. And, you know, for me, I mean, I would consider my year last year a success in many ways. But, you know, the one thing that I really was focused on, and it was a glaring thing, was definitely my shooting. And so, I mean, it wasn't really much to go over. It was just kind of talking, you know, how are we going to figure that out? How are we going to, you know, what's the process we're going to go through to try and knock that out? And I felt like, you know, I did a great job. It was me and kind of Nevada Smith. I took actually 2 weeks off after the season. It was the longest time I've ever taken off since, you know, I started seriously taking basketball serious. And then, you know, after that, I just got after it and kind of went from then on until, you know, where we are now.
So let's pick it up from that. I was actually going to ask this question later, but I think it's perfect time to talk about the shooting. I know Ben Steele did a little article about some of the things that you did, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into that. So one, it sounds like Coach Smith was the guy that kind of worked with you specifically on the parts and the mechanics of your shot. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So we kind of broke it down. I mean, so my hand was kind of on the side of the ball like this instead of underneath it. And it was kind of coming off like this way, almost off these two fingers instead of you want it kind of off these three, the middle three. So we were just working on getting my hand under the ball. And, you know, I hadn't really, and my right hand was actually the thing affecting it, because I would flick it with my thumb. But my right hand would kind of go up and I'd shoot like this and flick it with my thumb. And so we just worked on kind of getting my hand straight, my guide hand straight, and getting my left hand more so under the ball. And, you know, for a while, I couldn't really even shoot threes because, you know, I wanted to get it so perfect. So I kind of just stayed in form shooting mid-range shots. And, you know, throughout the summer, I mean, this season, I think I've only taken maybe two mid-range shots, but that's all I was shooting in the summer. I felt really confident in that, and then kind of stretched it out from there.
Did you identify your hands? Did Nevada, the Coach Smith, identify that? Like, where did you guys see that? Did you guys get in film together and do that? I'm just kind of interested on, right, pinpointing that stuff is important and making sure you're pinpointing the right thing to tweak.
Yeah. I mean, you could just see, I mean, I knew how I shot. I mean, I've been doing it for long enough, you know, good basketball mind to really understand what was going on. And obviously he's a great basketball mind, Coach Smith. But, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do that. A lot of people wouldn't change their shots. I mean, you know, it was more so, I feel like, a mental thing than a physical thing. Cause, you know, I would go in the gym and, you know, make 15, 20 in a row shooting that way. But, you know, when I got in the games, it was just a mental thing and it kind of got a little cloudy in it. But, you know, now, I mean, I'm in a great place now, just mentally. And I feel like that's the biggest change in myself from this year to last year, is just, you know, the whole mental side of the game and becoming a leader.
For sure. How uncomfortable was that? Like I said on the pod before, and I was excited to talk to you about this because I'm a I'm a weekend golfer. I'm terrible at it. But when someone gives me something that I have to change in my swing, it's so uncomfortable, right? And I don't golf enough to do that. So how uncomfortable was it at first to make those tweaks, and how long did it take for you to be like, okay, this is actually just, it's like writing with my dominant hand. Like, this is now just something I do.
I mean, it's still a work in progress, I would say. I mean, I was shooting a certain way for, you know, 20 years of my life, and then, you know, just having to change it, you know, at just like that kind of messed me up a little bit. I was getting really frustrated at the start, you know, because like I said, I couldn't really shoot threes. I couldn't reach, honestly. And I wanted, it was a different shot every time, just because I was trying to make it instead of just focus on, you know, having the right mechanics. I had to kind of switch my brain off of, you know, result-based things and kind of switch it to, you know, the process of it. So
that's hard. That's really hard for a competitor. That's super hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, even still, like, even, you know, it was great in the summer, you know, fall, there was a little skid a little bit, you know, good in the beginning of the year. I mean, now it feels great. I mean, I don't know if I've made a three in a few games, but I mean, it feels great. And that's all I feel like matters to me is whether or not it feels good. You know, I still have to think about, you know, in the games, all about the process. How am I shooting it instead of the result, is if it's going in or not.
How did you determine the drills that you would go through in the shooting? Was that something that Coach Smith took the lead on? Is that, do you get an outside guy for that? You know, you hear different things, right? There's different players that they go and get the dribble king, and they go get, you know, they hire out this other guy and stuff like that. And they put them through these routines and stuff. But how was it strictly with the Marquette staff that you built that through?
Yeah. So I actually worked out a lot with Travis Diener this summer. You know, he wasn't so much as tweaking my shot as to, you know, just building a great relationship with him, kind of picking his mind, you know, cause he's done it at a high level. And, you know, I'm trying to, you know, ultimately our team's trying to strive where they made the Final Four, and we're trying to strive towards that, and be successful like them. So, you know, just trying to pick his brain and kind of see what he sees and see the game through his lens. But, you know, just the drills that you're talking about, I mean, it's not necessarily one drill you could, oh, this will make you an elite shooter.
It's like a myriad of things, right? You do a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, it all works together. And I mean, there's not one thing. I mean, it's more so just kind of focusing every shot that you take, focusing on, you know, what you're doing instead of focusing, you know, it's not so much just the drill that you're doing. I mean, you can do any variety of drills to get better. I mean, it does.
But it's thinking through that drill, right? It's thinking, okay, like right now in this drill, it might be a drill, but I need to really make sure I'm paying attention to X or Y.
Yeah. Like what's happening. I mean, I had to be super hyper aware of like what exactly I was doing, you know, keeping my hand in the specific spot. Cause, you know, it's been muscle memory for so long, you know,
right.
It's kind of rerouting the memories in my brain to do it a specific way.
I've got to ask this question about Nevada, and we're trying to get him on. We had him on last year, and I'm going to ask him this because Ben Steele brought this up. He said, you know, he is a very unique mind, and he has thoughts about basketball that some of the traditionalists would be like, what? For example, he's like, one hand passes. I remember when I used to coach, our high school coach would be like, he would scream at dudes like, do we ever practice one hand passes and practice? Never. Why are you doing it in a game? Right. But he seems to have some different ways of looking at the game, and just taking the one hand passes as an example, many of them that you make are spectacular. Like, you have the ability to execute that, hit a shooter in his pocket. What are some of those other things that he has? Is there other things that maybe he's made you see differently about the way you play the game?
I mean, like going back to what you're saying, I feel like the one hand passes, you know, you got to be a good player to be able to do it. So anybody at this level, he has ideas. You know, he worked in the G League. He worked, you know, he's working with high level guys that can do the things that he talks about. You know, I mean, I think in your case, even in my case, my high school coach would say the same thing. Like, and it's true for most people. Yes, you don't want them making a one hand pass because it won't get where you want it to go. But, you know, his ideas come from, you know, working with other great minds and other great players. And I mean, one thing from him is just, you know, the speed that we play at every single possession. That's another thing that he brought, you know, kind of to me, just even if I'm not, you know, even if I'm not going to run it up and take a quick shot, you know, run it up and get it in the scoring area to then where the defense kind of has to get set. And, you know, another thing is his spacing. I mean, when we space the floor, we have these X's on the floor in the practice facility. And, you know, there's two on the sideline and two at the slots, but it's out of the score. So we call it the scoring area, which is kind of right on the 3-point line, kind of to a little bit past the NBA line, you know, where normal guys can make a shot from. That's kind of the scoring area, but it's way outside of that just because, you know, if you're out there, you know, the defense is kind of going to stretch out to you, even if you aren't in the scoring area per se. So it's kind of just stretching everybody out and just creating more space for everybody.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the offense. It's clear that schematically it's different than it was last year. I wouldn't say night and day. I think you're playing a little bit more five out than you did last year. And I think you definitely have spread out even more. Before we kind of get into some of maybe the minutiae of that, the changes that the coaches were trying to instill for the team coming up this year, when did you start to learn? Like, when did they introduce that to all of you? Like, here's how we're going to start thinking about offense in the 23 season, right? How are we going to start looking like what's just kind of interested in that timeline, because that's important for you as a player, right? Like, if your system is going to change, especially as a point guard moving into this next season, you want to start wrapping your mind around what that means for you as a player and to make that to be the player you need to for the team.
Yeah. So honestly, we run all the same things that we did last year. We, you know, haven't changed practically anything. I mean, the only thing that we change is, you know, we throw it to Oso and kind of cut off of him. We do that a little bit more.
That might be the biggest change because of Oso's ability to pass. Yeah. Which is different from Kerr. Kerr had different strengths, don't get me wrong, but Kerr cannot do what Oso can do at the top. So would you say that's sort of been the biggest difference in the way that you guys execute?
That's and I'll say we don't take as many kind of bad shots. You know, we take some bad shots, but, you know, a lot of the times the ball was kind of sticking in Justin's hands. I mean, he had a great year, but, you know, when he got it, the ball kind of stopped and he would kind of back him down or face up, and you know, so we weren't playing as fast in the half court or the full court. I mean, him and Kerr and Darryl, they didn't want to play as fast as kind of the coaches wanted to play, getting it up down the floor. They kind of wanted to be more methodical, and you know, it's hard.
That was their game, you know what I mean? Like their game was mid-range.
Yeah, it's hard to adjust to you know, a new way of thinking. You know, everybody from this year is back from last year, so we know how we wanted to play, and you know, It's you know, getting better at the things that we did last year and kind of learning how to play without those guys, because, you know, they made some big shots for us. I mean, I feel like every game when it was a close game, Darryl would come down and make a mid-range pull-up. It kind of calmed us down. And, you know, Justin would come down, you know, hit a three in a big spot, or, you know, Villanova score six straight at the end of the game. I mean, they were great for us. But, you know, just being able – so going back to Oso, we kind of – that's the biggest thing. We throw to him kind of in the middle of the floor or maybe in the post, and we kind of just cut off him. And, you know, it's not really any set plays or set things that we do. It's kind of just, you know, freedom of
read and react. Read and react.
Just being able to, you know, violently cut, like we like to say, and just, you know, play off of him.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. He's got that sort of, and I'm not saying he's Jokic, but like one thing that Denver does with Jokic is his ability to get it in the middle and up high and see, right? Bounce pass over, right? To get that vision of the court. And when you guys, I think the thing I'm most impressed about the offense this year is everybody's violent cutting, right? Especially when Oso has the ball, there's so much cutting action that can take place. I'm guessing, I mean, because I know last year when I talked to Shaka or when I talked to Nevada, he talked about really wanting to amp up the way we cut and that we needed to be better at that. I'm guessing that's something that you guys kind of focused in on this year because it looks great.
Yeah, I mean, we work on it every day. And, you know, it's another thing. Pulling the big away from the basket is really, really what helps us because there's no rim protection. So, you know, guys like Stevie can get in there and, you know, him and Oso got great rapport and they kind of, you know, feed off each other. They have this thing they call it Nick Chubb. I don't even know what it means, but they'll say it to each other. Like, it's not a play that we have. They just say it within each other. And they, you know, I think it's like when he runs over the top and then he just throws it over. But it's like little things like that, you know, And I think, you know, our relationships are really what kind of bond us together on offense. I mean, you know, we know this is our second year playing with each other. We know what everybody likes to do. We know our roles. And so that's the biggest thing.
Well, and you seem to very much own your roles. And this actually is a good transition to the next thing here. You know, I was reading the piece that The Athletic came out with just this week about all of you and talked about some of sort of the off the court team building activities. Like, I mean, listen, every work world has team building, right? And in many of the workplaces I've been in, they border on phony sometimes, or they you were like two truths and a lie. It's like, oh great, we're playing this crap again, right? And and sometimes it doesn't feel genuine and you're just going through the motions. That does not seem to be the case based on reading that piece in The Athletic. It sounds like some of the things that you all went through in the offseason to be connected, connectivity, right? One of Shaka's big words. Can you take me through what were some of the off the court activities that really got you, that really like felt you could feel yourself being pulled in or you guys being pulled in together?
Yeah. So like you were saying, the two truths and a lie thing, I mean, it is what you make it. I mean, you know, that stuff is corny. And you know, some of the stuff that we do honestly is corny, but it is what you make it. And if you kind of accept it and go into it with an open mind, then, you know, it can be really good for you. And so, you know, we actually every year in the, right before the season, we go on this, it's called like a retreat. This year we actually went to the Wisconsin Dells. And so we go down there, you know, we'll do fun things. We actually went to the water parks, you know, we'll practice. We have some scrimmages. But you know, the biggest thing that we did there was we called it a roll talk. So we kind of sat before that, beforehand, we sat in the film room and, you know, went over each guy's role. So we would do like maybe three a day, and it would take, honestly, it would take an hour because we would, they talked about it in The Athletic piece. It was culturally, offensively, and defensively, just, you know, a list of everything that every guy needed to do culturally, defensively, offensively. And then, so at the retreat, we kind of broke that down. And it's all player driven. I feel like that's what was, you know, the biggest thing. Cause, you know, me telling somebody else or somebody else telling me is way more impactful than, you know, obviously Coach Smart's brilliant and all the other coaches, but you hear them talk all the time. And, you know, sometimes it can just go in and out and you don't really comprehend. But, you know, when another one of your teammates is telling you what they want you to do, you really listen, and that you listen because of the relationships that you build. So, you know, we would spend, I think we spent maybe, We did that for, you know, probably about an hour. And then the next night was when we did the, you know, so it's definitely just, we did like another thing that we actually did was these skits. So like we were kind of reenacting different scenarios. So we each picked like, so say it was, you know, a player being disconnected from his team. We would have to, you know, come up with a skit with four or five guys and a coach. You know, and we go off in separate rooms, come up with like a 5-minute thing, and then we kind of reenact it out and playing out, you know, not being connected to your team or being caught up in missed shots or, you know, talking back to the coach. It was all different things. And those are all, you know, inhibitors that we want to stay away from. We don't want those things to happen. So we were kind of, you know, acting those out and going through that and then, you know, talking through our roles. We actually, in the role talk, we narrowed it down to three things for each. So actually, for my cultural thing, it was, you know, 5-star leader. It's stuff. It was all about like leadership stuff. I think that offensive is like offensive quarterback and stuff like that. So it's just very specific things that we want each guy to do.
That's cool. That's really awesome. You know, you said something I thought that was really insightful, and I think what I just want to ask about, you know, it's about what you put in. Right. So it could be two truths and a lie. And yeah, can that be corny? And can some of the stuff be corny 100%? But it's about what you put in.
Yeah.
What has this coaching staff done? And maybe it's just simply recruiting. Maybe it's they went out and made sure that they found good character guys, because you got to get that buy-in from everybody, which very much seems to be the case. This team seems very connected, as Shaka likes to say. You think that's a culture thing that Shaka and Coach Smith and Haynes have created for all of you? Think that's a recruiting thing, maybe a little A, a little B?
I mean, they create it through recruiting to start with, and then they kind of cultivate it when you're on campus. I mean, he talks about relationships every single day. And that's, you know, the number one thing in this program that he preaches is that being connected and building great relationships. You know, that goes way beyond basketball. And, you know, it just helps us. It just helps us that much more, you know, on the court. But it starts in recruiting. I mean, you need to really, you know, these guys do a great job of identifying, you know, the type of guy that they want. And that's really important.
Yeah. All right, let's get it back into the little bit more X's and O's here. I appreciate that. That's important stuff. And I think it's good for people to kind of learn about those things that go on in a basketball team. We don't get to hear all of that. And I think for fans, it's important to understand what you guys all go through. And so, but getting back to the X's and O's, I want to talk about rebounding. Your average and Cam's rebounding average has gone up this year. There seems to be more of an effort for you guys to be crashing a little bit more. Am I seeing that correct? What's because I'm not saying we're an elite rebounding team, but I definitely think we were a better rebounding team than we were last year. What's been some of the emphasis you guys have put on?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of our weaknesses last year, I would say. You know, it's just rebounding. We definitely put an emphasis on it in the offseason and the preseason. We still do. I mean, we have this thing, it's called punish the pad. There's, you know, if you don't hit the pad hard enough, you got to keep doing it until, you know, you hear the right sound that you want to hear it. So, I mean, it's all these little things that go into it, but, you know, we're not so much crashing as it is just, you know, we're all trying to be aware and rebound as one unit and not just, you know, also trying to box a guy out and grab the rebound. You know, he can go box a guy out, but, you know, we got to come back and grab the ball and everything like that. So, you know, they really emphasize, you know, us guards kind of rebounding down and like through the elbow, just get around that area. Cause we actually did a study. One of our managers did a study this summer of every missed shot in the Big East, where it landed. So where the rebound would go. And most of the rebounds are out on the floor and they're not right under the basket. The only rebound that you're going to get right under the basket is the made shot. So, you know, if you're, you know, the guards have the best chance to rebound. I mean, I get a lot of rebounds just cause I turn around and it just bounces right to me. So, you know, just being aware of kind of where the ball is and the other defenders around you.
One thing that I think we're a little worse at this year is transition defense. I know right now we're giving up around 12 points a game, which is pretty high in the league. What do you think attributes that? Because again, there's not laziness on this team at all. There's no such thing as a lack of effort. You guys might maybe, you know, miss an assignment here or there. That's part of life, right? It's part of the game. This is not a team, though, that's not willing to sprint. What do you think's been attributed to that? What are you guys identifying as maybe what some of that problem might be, and what are you doing to rectify it?
Yeah, just kind of being more alert. I mean, that's all it is. Because, you know, a lot of the times that somebody goes to contest your shot, say it's, you know, one of the guards shooting a three, and we're the ones that are supposed to be back, the guards. So if we're shooting either at the rim or if we're shooting a three, the guy's contesting and he just kind of runs past you. I mean, it's hard. Like you said, we give effort. You know, those are things that we're focused on in the film room and stuff like that. But, you know, it is just all about kind of being aware of where everybody's at. I don't think it's a problem, but I think, you know, we've definitely been working on it and emphasizing it.
So let's piggyback this question. Let's make it, I'm almost kind of re-ask it just through the lens of defense. I mean, Shaka has been candid about it in all of his post game. He'll talk about guys right there. And he talks, you could tell he talks it to all of you. He'll say, I've seen him get in someone's face on the sideline, not aggressively, but like, say like, you know, hey, you missed this assignment here. I think there's a great culture of accountability that you guys have created around there where you could be honest with each other. So when you're in the film room and you're breaking down where you guys are at defensively, what are some of the things that you guys seem to be struggling with so far this year?
I mean, the biggest thing for us is stance and readiness. I mean, we've got a lot of young guys and, you know, younger guys tend to not be aware or kind of lose sight of their man or not always be in a stance when the ball's not specifically with their guy. I mean, it's easier, you know, the ball passes away from you and it passes again to the other side. So you're two passes away and, you know, just standing up, it's easy to do that. But, you know, we've been preaching, you know, we have this pyramid, this defensive pyramid, and part of it is stance, eyes, and talk. And so I feel like we've been doing a great job of talking, but, you know, the biggest area that we need to improve on is stance. And so, you know, whether that's jumping to the ball and kind of being, we call it a load, which is one pass away, you're off your guy, you know, using all your length, but, you know, just kind of team five guys guarding one guy is really what we want to do. And, you know, not leaving guys on islands.
Well, and I think you actually, we do a nice job, I think, of helping. I think we do a nice job of rotating on defense. I think it's interesting you brought up because I do feel like there are times where we get beat off the dribble a little bit more than I think we should because of that stance. So it sounds like that you guys are looking to make sure that we're getting up into guys. Because I guess let me ask this question, maybe another way for us to think about it. Clear difference in who you were defensively in the second half of the Villanova game and in the second half of the St. John's game. There was a switch turned. I don't know if it was strategic. What happened at halftime of those games that either flipped the switch? Was it a strategy? Say, hey, we're going to do this differently. Like, what did that look like?
It just goes back to the relationships. I mean, you know, coaches isn't coming in the locker room right away. And we're the ones that really care about it. I mean, we're the ones that we want to win, and we know that defense is what's going to win us games. So, you know, we come in the locker room, I'm getting on guys, you know, guys getting on me as well. I mean, we need leadership from more than one guy. So kind of just, you know, we call it an eyeball contract, which is kind of just looking a guy in the eye and really basically signing a piece of paper saying, we're going to do this together. We're going to, you know, get in the stance. And like you said, our rotational defense, our positional defense has been pretty good, I think. But it's, you know, the one area that we've been struggling right now is guarding the ball off the bounce. Whether it's, you know, when we switch, then the guy who switches guarding them, or, you know, just the guy who's initially guarding the ball. So, you know, but that's not just on that one guy guarding the ball. Like I said, I mean, it's on that all five guys.
On the help to, it's everybody. And I do totally agree with that. You know, it's funny, if you go back and look at some of the stat boxes of some of the games where you went up against some of the bigs like Edie and King, I think, from Creighton, he was the back. Mm-hmm. If you look at their offensive numbers, they looked pretty good. But in the actual game itself, like especially the Purdue game, I thought, especially in the first half, not only did we do a great job of denying entry passes, but the backside help has been really good too as well. And while those numbers have looked good, you're actually doing a good job of defending the hoop. There's a lower, you know, you guys keep a pretty low field goal percentage against those teams. And so it seems like you guys, I mean, listen, Oso's a big dude, but you know, Sonogo, Edie, there's a Croswell, there's some beasts out there that you guys have been going, but you've done a good job for the most part. How do you guys feel about the way that you've defended the block and the bigs?
We've guarded good on the block. I mean, we like to double the post when it's necessary.
Love when you guys do such a great job of doubling the post and then getting back. I think that's great what you guys do there.
That's the biggest thing when you double and then flying around. We call it fixing it on the backside, getting to shooters. I mean, you know, team scout, they know we're going to double, so they're going to have things for that. But, you know, I feel like the bigs haven't really hurt us just making one-on-one moves in the post the way that, you know, Soriano had a few jump shots in the game. Or
he had a 1,000 jump shots. He was like 9 for 9 at one point.
I know. I think he had like 16 and 7 at halftime, and then he ended with like 22. So it wasn't like he was going to get individual buckets on the block. It was more so kind of, you know, face-ups and offensive rebounds. And so I feel like that's, you know, a lot of the bigs that have gotten good numbers on us are just, you know, getting offensive rebounds or cutting, and or Oso's helping and they dump it off. So, well, I think Oso's done a pretty good job when the ball actually goes throwing the post, and we've done a good job, you know, helping them out. But, you know, we got to clean up all the other little stuff.
Oso, did I hear he's your roommate? He made him your roommate this year?
Yeah, he is.
All right, I got to ask this question because I think this is true of any roommate. This is even my wife. They've lived with my wife for forever. There's something that bugs you about your roommate sometimes. My wife leaves her clothes all over the bathroom constantly. What is your picadillo with Oso, and have you confronted him about it?
No, I don't really have much. So we have our own individual rooms, and we just kind of share like a living room and a kitchen. We got our own bathrooms and stuff like that. So it's more individual. You know, he keeps it clean out there.
He does the dishes. He does his dishes. Yeah. He doesn't leave them in there.
We do everything. He brings the waters. I'll take out the trash. So we got our little things that we do, and you know, it works well. I don't have any bone to pick with him.
Good. My wife and I might need some advice from you guys.
I'd love to hear if he has a bone to pick with me.
Well, we'll try. Listen, we'll try to get him on. I'll try to get that out of him for you. All right. We'll do a little relationship counseling here. Yeah. Last question. Hey, I am so excited about this group of freshmen. What I mean, you can see how high the ceiling is. Obviously, there's stuff they got to work. Every freshman does. I don't want to talk about any of that. I want to talk about the things that have impressed you about each of the freshmen on the team this year.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, they learned really fast. I think they were, you know, way farther along in the summer and the spring than the freshmen were last year. And I mean, that goes hand in hand with kind of everybody else being more, you know, aware of what's going on. Because it is our second year, and last year was everybody's first year, not just the freshmen. So, you know, we kind of knew what to expect. So we kind of helping them along and helping them, you know, learn Coach Smart, because it is a learning curve. I mean, you come from high school right to his practice. It's different. You got to be ready to go. So, I mean, but, you know, with Sean, you know, he's learning the point guard spot and, you know, just finding different ways to you know, impact the game offensively and defensively. I think that's his biggest attribute is, you know, getting after the ball, pressuring the ball, and, you know, on offense, getting downhill, attacking guys. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the country that can stand in front of him with a full head of steam. He's super fast and quick and kind of gets to wherever he wants to get to. Ben Gold, he's probably the furthest, you know, the least furthest along out of the other freshmen, but, you know, he has to kind of adjust to a whole new game coming over here, playing college basketball. I mean, there's not as much space as there was maybe if you in European basketball and stuff like that. And, you know, just his position as well. I mean, it's easier for guards to kind of transition to the college game. And he's been more so of kind of a 3-4 his whole life, kind of a playing on the wing, you know, and with our thinness at the big spot, he's kind of had to play a lot of backup five. So, you know, he's been good handling that, pick and pop, making shots. You know, I like him to be a little more kind of violent, like we like to say. But, you know, he's been great. And then, you know, Chase Ross, he's probably the most physically gifted guy on our team. Just if by looking at him, you can tell, you know, his body is something different. But, you know, his energy on defense and his ability to kind of be out there and really impact our offense, just making shots, cutting, offensive
healing,
stuff like that.
Did that kid play safety in high school?
He looks like a safety.
Right? Like, yeah. I was calling him Ross Sauce Gardner because the dude is just like a lockdown to knock down passes, get his hands and stuff. I mean, that's not something a lot of freshmen come into college being able to do.
Yeah. And a lot of freshmen, they got to learn that defense is going to how you're going to get on the floor, and it's not going to be offense. And, you know, defense will get you on the floor, and then your offense will keep you on the floor. That's kind of what I like.
Stevie Mitchell, perfect example of that. I mean, he had struggled offensively a little bit last year. He started off this year, but his defense has always been extremely fundamental. Look at him now, right? I mean, these last couple games. Yeah.
And his defense kind of makes his offense. He's getting steals. Right. He's getting out in transition. And, you know, when we're running, he's at his best because, you know, guys are flying around trying to find him, and he's getting to the basket at will.
How about that Stevie dunk? That had to get you guys all jazzed.
Oh, man. That was because he's been doing it in practice quite a bit. He actually had a dunk today in practice. And, you know, I love when my guards get up there. I mean, I can't really get up there. So
are we going to get one from you? You think we're going to get one from you?
I don't know if I would try to dunk in a game. That'd be a little too risky. You know, because I'm not 100% dunker. So every time I go up, I'm not going to finish it. Even like if I'm just trying to, like after practice or before practice. Yeah. So, you know, those other guys, they can get it whenever they want to, you know, just casually doing it. So, I mean, I don't know if we're up 25 and I'm feeling good. We'll see. But I've only had a few dunks and layup lines, nothing.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll be looking for that. Tyler, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. Best of luck, man.
For sure. I appreciate you having me on.
I told you. What a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much, Tyler, for joining us. We are very lucky to have you come on this pod and to be able to deliver, I think, really important content for the greatest fans in college basketball. I think we got to do more of these. Let's see if we can get some other people on. I think these conversations are really helpful to kind of better understand what's going on the court and to, I think, continue to help us celebrate this fantastic basketball team. I've got really high hopes. I can't help it. I can't contain myself. I'm very excited about this team. And we will be back to deliver more content soon. We out.